Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster. That's a quarterly put out by the people at Mount Zion Bible Church in Pensacola, Florida. The topic this quarter is the adversary, the devil. And to speak on it this time, we're going to be reading the words of Jonathan Edwards, who lived from 1703 to 1758. He was the American congregational preacher and theologian, born in Connecticut. God's wisdom in Satan's overthrow. The wisdom of God greatly and remarkably appears in so exceedingly baffling and confounding all the subtlety of the old serpent. Power never appears so conspicuous as when opposed and conquering opposition. The same may be said of wisdom. It never appears so brightly and with such advantage as when opposed by the subtlety of some very crafty enemy, and in baffling and confounding that subtlety. The devil is exceeding subtle. Satan was once one of the brightest intelligences of heaven, and one of the brightest, if not the very brightest, of all. And all the devils were once morning stars of a glorious brightness of understanding. They still have the same faculties, though they cease to be influenced and guided by the Holy Spirit of God. And so their heavenly wisdom is turned into hellish craft and subtlety. In the work of redemption, God hath wondrously baffled the utmost craft of the devils. And though they are all combined to frustrate God's designs of glory to himself and goodness to men, the wisdom of God appears very glorious herein. For, number one, consider the weak and seemingly despicable means and weapons that God employs to overthrow Satan. Christ poured the greater contempt upon Satan in the victory that he obtained over him by reason of the means of his preparing himself for it and the weapons he had used. Christ chooses to encounter Satan in human nature, in a poor, frail, afflicted state. He did as David did. David, when going against the Philistine, refused Saul's armor, a helmet of brass, a coat of mail, and his sword. No, he puts them all off. Goliath comes mightily armed against David with a helmet of brass upon his head, a coat of mail weighing 5,000 shekels of brass, greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, a spear whose staff was like a weaver's beam, the spear's head weighing 600 shekels of iron. Besides all this, he had one bearing a shield before him. But David takes nothing but a staff in his hand, a shepherd's bag, and a sling. And he goes against the Philistine. And so the weapons that Christ made use of were his poverty, afflictions, and reproaches, sufferings, and death. His principal weapon was his cross, the instrument of his own reproachful death. These were seemingly weak and despicable instruments to wield against such a giant as Satan, and doubtless the devil disdained them as much as Goliath did David's staves and sling. But with such weapons as these has Christ in a human, weak, mortal nature overthrown and baffled all the craft of hell. Such disgrace and contempt has Christ poured upon Satan. David had a more glorious victory over Goliath for his conquering him with such mean instruments, and Samson over the Philistines for killing so many of them with such a despicable weapon as the jawbone of an ass. It is spoken of in Scripture as a glorious triumph of Christ over the devil, that he should overcome him by such a despicable weapon as his cross, as in Colossians 2, 14 and 15, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. God shows his great and infinite wisdom in taking this method to confound the wisdom and subtlety of his enemies. He hereby shows how easily he can do it, and that he is infinitely wiser than they. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. 1 Corinthians 1:27-28. Secondly, God has thereby confounded Satan with his own weapons. It is so contrived in the work of redemption that our grand enemy should be made a means of his own confusion. By those very things whereby he endeavors to rob God of his glory and to destroy mankind, he is made an instrument of frustrating his own designs. His most subtle and powerful endeavors for accomplishing his designs are made a means of confounding them and of promoting the contrary. Of this I will mention but two instances. First, his procuring man's fall is made an occasion of the contrary to what he designed. Indeed, he has hereby procured the ruin of multitudes of mankind, which he aimed at. But in this he does not frustrate God's design from all eternity to glorify himself. And the misery of multitudes of mankind will prove no contentment to him, but will enhance his own misery. What Satan did in tempting man to fall is made an occasion of the contrary to what he intended, in that it gave occasion for God to glorify himself the more, and giveth occasion for the elect being brought to higher happiness. Satan envied the happy state of man. That man who is of earthly original should be advanced to such honors, when he who was originally of a so much more noble nature should be cast down to such disgrace that his pride cannot bear. How then would Satan triumph when he had brought man down? The devil tempted our first parents with this. If they would eat of the forbidden fruit, they should be as gods. It was a lie in Satan's mouth, for he aimed at nothing else but to fool man out of his happiness and make him his own slave and vassal with a blinded expectation of being like a god. But little did Satan think that God would turn it to man's fall and to make man's fall an occasion of God becoming man, and so an occasion of our nature being advanced to a state of closer union to God. By this means it comes to pass that one in man's nature now sits at the right hand of God, invested with divine power and glory, and reigns over heaven and earth with a godlike power and dominion. Thus is Satan disappointed in his subtlety, as he intended that saying, "Ye shall be as gods," it was a lie to decoy and befool man. Little did he think that it would be in such manner verified by the incarnation of the Son of God. And this is the occasion also of all the elect being united to this divine person, so that they become one with Christ. Believers are as members and parts of Christ. Little did Satan think that his telling that lie to our first parents, "You shall be as gods," would be the occasion of their being members of Christ, the Son of God. Again, Satan is made a means of his own confusion. In this, it was Satan's design in tempting man to sin to make man his captive and slave forever, to have plagued and triumphed over him. And this very thing is a means to bring it about that man, instead of being his vassal, should be his judge. The elect, instead of being his captives, to be forever tormented and triumphed over by him, shall sit as judges to sentence him to everlasting torment. It has been the means that one in man's nature should be his supreme judge. It was man's nature that Satan so envied and sought to make a prey of. But Jesus Christ, at the last day, shall come in man's nature, and the devils shall all be brought to stand trembling at his bar. He shall judge them, condemn them, and execute the wrath of God upon them. And not only shall Christ in the human nature judge the devils, but all the saints shall judge them, with Christ as assessors with him in judgment. 1 Corinthians 6:3, "Know you not that we shall judge angels. And secondly, in another instance, Satan is made a means of his own confusion, that is, in his procuring the death of Christ. Satan set himself to oppose Christ as soon as he appeared. He sought by all means to procure his ruin. He set the Jews against him. He filled the minds of the scribes and Pharisees with the most bitter, persecuting malice against Christ. He sought by all means to procure his death, and that he might be put to the most ignominious death. We read that Satan entered into Judas and tempted him to betray him. And Christ speaks of his sufferings as being the effects of the power of darkness. Luke 22:53, Jesus says, "When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." But Satan hereby overthrows his own kingdom. Christ came into the world to destroy the works of the devil, and this was the very thing that did it, namely, the blood and death of Christ. The cross was the devil's own weapon, and with this weapon he was overthrown, as David cut off Goliath's head with his own sword, Goliath's sword. Christ, thus making Satan a means of his own confusion, was typified of old by Samson's getting honey out of the carcass of a lion. There is more implied in Samson's riddle. Out of the eater came forth meat, out of the strong came forth sweetness. You remember Judges 14:14. More to it than ever the Philistines explained. Christ verified it in a far more glorious manner. God's enemies and ours are taken in the pit that they themselves have digged. Their own soul is taken in the net that they have laid. Thus we have shown, in some measure, the wisdom of this way of salvation by Jesus Christ. That's from The Works of Jonathan Edwards, Volume 2. If you would like to have this free periodical that I'm reading from sent to you every 3 months, just send an email to chapel@mountzion.org. Now, thank you for listening. I do like hearing from you. Please contact me every once in a while with questions or comments. Just write to bob.j.falconer.72@gmail.com. Look around the site. I do believe you'll find much that will be beneficial. There are readings from great preachers, stories from the persecuted church, Bible studies, and a lot more. And now we have audios twice daily, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m., 6 p.m., Chicago time. Well, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.